This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. This week we've been studying together the fifth chapter of Mark. There are three challenges to the Lord Jesus in this chapter. In each case, we see him victor. In the first part, he shows his power over demons. In our last lesson, his power over death. And today, in our last lesson, his power over demons. And today, his power over death. Demons, disease, and death. We have a Savior who can help us in these three areas. Let's begin our reading today with Mark chapter 5, verse 22, and read through verse 24. Here's Ken Brooks to read those verses.
And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up upon him, saying, and fell at his feet, and entreated him earnestly, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her, that she may get well and may live. And he went off with him, and a great multitude was following him and pressing in on him.
Each Jewish synagogue had an official like Jairus. He presided over the group of elders. It was his responsibility to get teachers for the synagogue. They examined the lessons of the teachers and saw that things were done decently and in order. And so Jairus held a very responsible position. But into that respected family, illness had come. The little daughter was 12 years of age. Jewish custom taught that she became a woman at 12 years and one day. The synagogue ruler was deeply concerned. It was not enough to send a servant to tell the Lord Jesus. He would go himself. And this he did. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, begging him to come and lay his hands on her. The Lord Jesus could have excused himself for various reasons. But no, he went with the man. Here was a man with a request. Here was a man with faith. But as they moved in the direction of the ruler's home, the crowd pressed around and followed him. It was at this point that the ailing woman touched the Lord Jesus. Here was an interruption. They were on a mission that might mean life or death. But here was an interruption. What would you do in a case like that? Well, we know what he did. He healed the woman. He talked to her briefly and then moved on. I like Harold St. John's comment regarding interruptions. There is much to learn from Christ's way of dealing with interruptions. Busy men usually welcome them about as much as they would a visit from an income tax collector. He welcomed all, wove each disturbance into the daily pattern of his flawless service, and from them produced many of his loveliest parables and his noblest miracles. I wonder if we'll remember this incident the next time that we're interrupted. Well, now we'll move on past the story of the ailing woman, because we studied that last time, and on to verses 35 through 38.
Mark 5, 35 to 38. While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any more? But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, Do not be afraid any longer, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow with him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue official, and he beheld a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing.
It's too late. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master? These are sad words. You can imagine how they struck at the heart of the ruler. But Jesus overheard, and he said, Don't be afraid. Only believe. and he then proceeded to the ruler's home. He took along Peter, James, and John. This was a first for them. Later they were to be with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and still later in Gethsemane. As they reached the house, they saw and heard a great commotion, people weeping loudly and wailing. Matthew adds the note that the minstrels were there. Jewish mourning customs were clearly defined and worked out in great detail. As soon as death took place, a loud wailing went up to let people know that death had entered the home. The people beat their breasts and tore their hair and rent their garments. The rending of the garments was according to rules set down. Often professional mourners were hired. Josephus tells us that most people hired flute players to lead their lamentations. One writer comments, "The wail of the flutes, the screams of the mourners, the passionate appeals to the dead, the rent garments, the torn hair, must have made a Jewish house a poignant place on a day of mourning." And so into this the Lord Jesus walked that day with his three disciples. When he told them that the girl was not dead but asleep, they laughed at him. They laughed him to scorn. They jeered him with loud laughter. Yes, they could wail one moment, and they could laugh the next. Their laughter that day was certainly out of place. The Lord Jesus put them out. The word used here by Mark means to throw out. It's strong language. Reminds us of the day he forced the money changers out of the temple. Then he took the father and mother, the three disciples, and went into the girl's room. He took her by the hand and spoke to her in Aramaic. Our translation gives it, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Someone has also translated it, "Little lamb, arise." And now let's read the last two verses of the chapter, Mark 5, verses 42 and 43.
"And immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given her to eat."
A true story with a very happy ending. He had said to the father, "Do not be afraid, only believe." In this chapter, we've had demons, disease, and death. None could stand before the Lord Jesus. He has all power. He's a miracle-working Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The greatest miracle of all is salvation. It's a passing from spiritual death to life eternal. Has he worked this miracle in your life yet? Have you given him an opportunity? Maybe you're afraid today. Maybe some of these things have touched your life. Demons, disease, death. I wonder if he's not saying to you today, through this study in the Gospel of Mark, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still able to help you. He wants to perform this greatest of miracles in your life. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Only trust in the Lord Jesus just now.